Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Now, today we've got Brad Thornton back. How are you going, Brad?
I'm doing well. How are you, Peter?
Good, mate. Good, mate. Thanks for being on again. A lot to cover. We had a lot to talk about after the last show as well. Now, I've had a few things happen since last speaking to you, and it seems like you have too. Would you mind going into just some of the weird stuff that's happened for you since we've last spoke?
Yeah, sure. After we last spoke, I noticed there was a lot of activity from various universities from around America trying to access my computer, and that's something that doesn't normally happen. So you've got to ask yourself, why is that happening? And since our interview...
Exactly. Now, just for the listeners' sake, I'm getting weird stuff going on, which I'd say will be recorded. You'll be able to hear this, Brad, when if you play back just the start of the show, you'll be able to hear it. There'll be probably tones and weird stuff coming because me and Brad have been speaking for about 20 minutes and it's been pretty off the rails, but there's nothing we can do about it. So sorry, listeners, but yeah, so sorry, Brad, go on, mate.
Okay. And actually, during that 20 minutes, I actually lost all internet together. My internet went down. I checked the logs and found just before it went down, it was an access from the University of New South Wales.
Yeah, no, because it did go to crap for a minute there, yeah. Yeah, and you've got a, not a wireless connection, you've got a proper, is it ADSL or something like that it's called? The wall plug-in?
Cable.
Yeah. Cable, yeah, yeah. So that's a bit weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me myself, I had the computer got a virus which could not be taken out of the computer. Usually you can go to a control panel or something, but I had to actually wipe everything off the computer, even Windows, and redo everything, and it's a brand new, brand spanking new computer, top of the range. So I've had that and a couple of other weird things as well. Yeah, go on, mate.
Yeah, that and just the level of interference that had increased since the interview by the military. So using mind control, so being able to put thoughts into myself and also other people that are around me and control you by that means. So for an example, the person may be having thoughts of it's a plan to separate my wife and I, and that's been going on for quite a period of time now. The way that they do it is they put thoughts into your head to try and cause separation. So,
divide and conquer.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have an idea of how they do this? Do you think it's by telepathy, or do you think it's by some type of advanced technology?
By a couple of means. I feel it can be done by focused intent, so it's an actual person who can focus energy, because thoughts are energy, so you know the frequency.
All right, yeah, now we're just getting interference on this again. My end's coming back good again. Sorry, mate, it's just gone all haywire on this end again. So those are the types of forms you think that's how these types of attacks are done.
Yeah, and also it can be done either through computers, via holographics, because we do live in a holographic
universe. Yeah.
And it's set up. The Matrix is like the operating system. So it's like Windows 7 or whatever you want. And everything that exists in that matrix are programs.
And every single thing contains information of the whole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So programs can be written to achieve certain outcomes.
Yeah. Definitely. After the last show that we did, we were speaking of it, and I touched on it on the later part of the show. What it seems to be with your case, besides being an experiencer and in my lab, and maybe a continuation of the my lab part, is that it seems like you were or are a super soldier.
Yeah, as much as I don't like that word, because I really don't.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's just a blanket too. Yeah, I know. It's like how people say psychic. I hate that term, but it's just sort of like a overlap.
I know, it's a label to describe, you know.
Yeah. But it does connect into the abduction phenomena, what's going on with the military, UFOs, you name it. This, that part of it taps into it. A lot in the UFO field want to stay away from it. But it seems to be getting recognised more and more in time. Like anything, you know, you can go back to scientists or whoever. Something's brought to the forefront. First it'll be ridiculed and later it is, it's accepted. But it goes for the ridicule to start off with. There's others besides yourself coming forth with similar information too. So it's not like you're the only one. If listeners are hearing this type of thing for the first time. We're just getting a bit of computer trouble there too. You might just have to hit your camera button again if you can hear me.
Yep. There we go. Sorry, what was the last question?
It just seems like, as I said, like, it, I hate the term super soldier, but either you were it or you are part of that now, or, you know, who knows how this, because the, how you were manipulated, like myself, is on so many different levels that people couldn't even fathom. It's like you, they could even turn you on autopilot and you can do things you're not aware of. You may get, there may be glitches in that matrix system where you have recall.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is where it gets complicated, but it's something I wanted to touch on, because this goes into, this is happening now, why is this going on? And not just is it going on in our 3D realm on this plane, on Earth, but it seems, from what you were saying last time, is that this overlaps into other either parallel universes or dimensions, this aspect of you going on reconnaissance missions or actually carrying out hits or whatever you could be doing, which to me, it goes further out of how the government are more capable of what even people in the UFO field think they are, if these guys, be it you and others, are going into other dimensions, carrying out other activities, you know, and we think, oh, we're sort of contained. You hear it all the time, we're contained to Earth here, blah, blah, blah. But this is overlapping into other dimensions. And how you, like, for example, you went to Sydney and you saw Sydney in another parallel universe and it was different, so you were taken there. So this is just way wider than what people could even really think, unless hearing your story or something similar.
Sure. Yeah, there is technology available that can allow people to travel to other parallel and non-parallel worlds. To future timelines and past timelines. But each timeline is really just another...
facet of the same one?
It's another universe, parallel worlds and non-parallel worlds in different time frames. So, for example, one that I went to in Sydney, this base in Sydney and how I was actually taken up from underground the base up into the water, and the technology they have to do that and the holographic technology that they use to cover the entrances to the bases. So they look real. They look and feel real because they're actually holographic at a matrix level.
Now, when speaking to you last time, you were saying unless you're at a high... I think it was you saying this, that unless you're at a high vibration, you wouldn't recognise these entrances. So if you were sort of tuned into this technology and more vibrating at a higher rate, you would pick up on where these... You'd be able to tell, oh, this is a hologram. But to the average Joe, it would look as solid as the rest of this vibrational freak, like the 3D realm.
Yeah. The other ones that I've seen when I've been in the, if you want to call it the astral plane, so it's a higher vibrational frequency than the third dimension or the physical dimension that we're in. And in that, the astral plane, the holographic entrances, they look like a hologram would look in this density. So, you know, like a normal hologram, you can see through it and that sort of thing. That's what it looks like in the astral. But in this density, it looks like, for example, if it was a rock wall, it would look like a rock wall.
It would look fit, yeah.
So it's the same with the entrance, well, one of the entrances, it just looks like a, you know, some rock wall and trees and that sort of thing.
Now we've got projects out there, apparently, and this to me seems to be real because from my experiences where it's been exposed to me, but we've got things out there like Project Pegasus, you know, Stargate, even things like with Looking Glass, these type of technologies. Is this similar to what you have been working with, or have you been privy to the actual technology that you've worked with when in this state, or like doing whatever work? Do you remember, or can you remember what they look like, or do you know the type of technology that you would use to get from point A to point B, or to go from this timeline to another or parallel universe? Do you have any recall of that?
Yeah, some of it. One time I was taken to the year 2115 in the US. I was taken via, there was three of these white, they looked like squashed up versions of the space shuttle, except there was no seams around the outside. It was just one complete exoskeleton. So there was no screws, there was no rivets, there was no joints. It was just one complete. We arrived at, and at first I thought they were flying craft, but they weren't. They were like time travel. And we arrived at the underground base in America, and when I got out, there was a whole group of soldiers, and they had their guns pointed at me, and they were told it was okay, and they said, we'll introduce you to the colonel. So I met the colonel. Inside the room, there was this big, long rectangle table. They had newspaper clippings from various time periods that they'd gone to, and they collected. The colonel walked me over to the wall, on the right, walked over to the right, and then on the left-hand side of this wall where there was a doorway, there was two devices. One kind of looked like the inside of a PC, kind of. The one above it had like an extra attachment on it with some, looked like fiber optic cables that actually went around and connected to something else. And he asked me, he said, do you know what these are? And I just knew what they were. I said, they're time travel devices. He said, yes, that's correct. He said, the one below is version one. He said, the one above is version two. And he said, version two is faster than version one. So then he took me outside, and there was, and what you have to understand is, even though it's 2115 in the future, it may not be the timeline that we're actually on.
Yeah.
So what I saw was there was a big battle going on. There was a big war. We went back inside, and then we actually went further into the future. And what I saw was there was no pollution. There was no industry. It was like just like a village out in the middle of the country. The air was so clear and clean. It didn't look like they had a lot of the technology, because outside the shops, all they had was chalkboards, and they had, you know, written on them, like, for example, there was bread, and bread was like $15.
So this was further into the future?
Yes.
But you couldn't tell what timeline?
No, they didn't actually tell me how far into the future or what timeline. But they took me to a place that is on this timeline, and where there's something there that actually allows to travel to their time period and back to this time period.
So it's interwoven, sort of.
Yeah, it's there's certain things that you have to actually do to get this thing to work. It's not like you could just go there and expect it to work. It doesn't.
Just a couple of questions. With the American base you were taken to, do you know whereabouts that was, or you just know that that was an American base?
I don't exactly know. I don't know exactly where it is, but it was somewhere where a lot of country. It wasn't...
Yeah. And it was America.
Yeah, it was America.
Now, with the devices, how you're saying, you know, they've sort of look like... What were you saying inside a PC or something that like that? They look weird like that, and they have sort of like... One of them had a fibre optic.
Yeah, one of them had another attachment connected to it. But it was kind of like a square box. It had something in the middle of it, and it had... I think it was two fibre optic cables that came out and attached to one of the... On the end of it, like on the end of this circuit board, there was something else that was attached to.
Do you know how, like, it worked? Like, yeah, like, did it have to go inside something? Did you have to be near it? Like...
From what I understand, these were actually installed into the craft that I was using. These.
Oh, so you were in a craft. This is part of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the ones I saw were actually just up on the wall. So it was like... I don't know. It's like they were just there for show. I don't know.
You'd think they'll come up with something like the DeLorean. I would love that.
Yeah. So I don't know why they actually took me there. I don't know how I knew what these devices were. But I'll tell you this, right? When I was probably about 17 or 18, I've always been good with technology. I haven't started anything to do with technology. When I was around 17... friend brought down a CB radio that wasn't working, and I just knew what to do. Just ran a wire from one side of the board over to the other side of the board, and it worked perfectly. So, I don't just know.
Or always had a bit of a knack for it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm
just trying to think where to go, like...
Technology-wise, other technology...
Yep.
That I've seen, and... that others around me have seen as well. So there's confirmation. A pistol, semi-auto, it was chrome.
We've got some crazy sounds coming through now, but keep going, mate.
Yeah. But it shot out blue bolts of, it looked like laser, but someone else said it was like bolts of electricity out of this gun. And the man that had a suit on, he didn't look military or anything like that, but and he was trying to get me and the other person that was there.
So what came out of this type of gun was like a blue type of energy, so it could have been either laser or who knows what it was, but that was basically the ammunition of whatever, however it was generated is another matter, but that was sort of what you're dealing with, that something that advanced, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever used an actual like a reverse engineered like government UFO to do some of your missions?
Yeah, I remember being on a craft. It was, I know it was military because it was really dark inside. There was a lot of humans on board. They had these big black, helmets, like a flight helmet. And what I noticed was, it was like when these helmets were on these humans, it was like they were in a trance. And I walked through and kind of walked to the right and down this little bit of a hallway, and that's all I remember. But it was, and I feel that it was like a rectangle shaped type craft.
A rectangle craft, alright. Yeah. Yeah, now there has been ones like that reported that are meant to be black. I think there's some windows or something they can see on them, but they said they're like bloody shopping centres, and they just... I've seen something like, 3 times the size of a football field, but it's a huge ass, like massive disc. But that was extraterrestrial. The way that was set up was just nothing like you'd think with the triangle or even how the rectangle ones have appeared on the outside. So, was there any other types of crafts? And do you feel that those were, like, but lack for a better term, super soldiers that you were with on that craft?
Yeah. they also have kind of like Stargate technology. So there's, for example, myself and a few other guys came through this like a Stargate thing, and we ended up in Vietnam. And we were there, from what I can gather, we were walking down this bit of a trail, and on the left-hand side, there was these bamboo, like square bamboo huts that were actually raised up off the ground. So the floor was like raised up off the ground by about 2 or 3 foot, and they were prison huts. So we were there to rescue someone that was obviously important.
Do you think this may have been during the Vietnam War era?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
So we were taken back in time to that period, and I don't know, maybe there's some documented history about it, I don't know.
So when you're doing those types of missions, is there any weaponry, or as you were saying, there was types of things where one time you said you melted a dude's weapon by thought and energy, and we're going into the intention of how that works. Is that how do you basically go solo most of the time on these missions? You're not sort of worried about carrying shit, you know, or is there some things where you might have something like that weapon with the blue energy, like different forms of weapons for different, I guess, different missions?
There's only been one mission that I remember that I actually had a normal submachine gun. It was only a small one that I used. Other times it's been just by myself, or I've gone to places and actually come back with someone else, like that one in France. And the girl I come back with, she actually had a little bit overweight, she had long dark hair, and I remember the train station, I remember some names, but with most of these missions, you don't remember the middle, so you remember the beginning, the middle is just a blank, and you remember the end, so you're going somewhere, you don't remember what happens there, but you remember leaving that place and actually heading back to, you know, where you started out from.
Sort of like a lot of times when you're taken, like by the extraterrestrials or other, you know, interdimensional beings, you've got the start, you've got the end, and you start if you know what's happening in between, and sometimes you'll get the flashback. We spoke about that actually when we first talked, is how you get these flashbacks. I could be here talking to you right now, looking at your screen, and I'm getting the visual of whatever's coming back through. Mm-hmm. These are the, whether they're glitches in the system or it's a high form of our own consciousness saying it's time or however this works, you know, I wonder, but it seems to be out through the whole sort of gamut of all these types of experiences, whether contactees or experiences or, you know, whatever people want to say. But it's something that a lot of us don't talk about either, because the more I've talked about it, people are like, yeah, I've had that too. And I'm like, well, why don't you bloody talk about it? Because I feel like I'm nuts being the only one, you know, for a period I thought I was the only one. Like, you never know, but that's what got me with you, is that you've had that mainly happen with you as well. You'll get these flashbacks and there's detail to them as well.
That's it. There's dreams, and then there's dreams where you're actually accessing another brain state. So because you've got multiple brain levels, you know, there's alpha, there's theta or theta, and then you've got your, I think, beta as well.
Yeah.
So you can be shifted into another brain state, like another brain wave, and then brought back into, like when you have a dream. Some dreams you have a dream and you wake up and you can't remember what it was. But then there's ones where you remember and they stick with you for years. And that's not a normal dream.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Look, one of the memories I have has been taken to this house out in the middle of, for the Aussies, the bush, or the Americans, the woods. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And there was a doctor. His name was either Dr. Orvik or Dr. Orsic. He European.
German?
In about his 50s.
Could he be German?
Could be, yeah. He had dark hair, although he was bald. He had a goatee beard. There was a military guy with him, and he had two nurses with him, and they were both European as well, blonde hair. We were taken, there was another person with me. We were taken to this house, and I knew that when I got there, he would try and put me into an altered state. So when we got there, actually I was a little bit behind with one of the nurses, my brother. The other person was with the doctor and the military guy and the other nurse.
Oh yeah, I would have been trying to keep behind with one of the nurses too.
Well, they were all right.
So do you think this dude, this European, the doctor, do you think this had some connection with sort of he was running a mind control part of whatever program you were in?
Definitely.
Definitely, yep.
Yep, yeah, because the mind control, the MKUltra, come from the Nazis. That came from the Nazis.
So that's what I was thinking myself, is that he might have been part of that. And while you're going there, who knows, it might have been for a tune-up, download another program.
Well, I'll get to that. Yeah. So when I arrived there, I'm standing in the... walking through the entrance. The lounge room was on the left. Walked through further past the lounge room, there was a kitchen. Off to the right, there was a hallway that went down... right, and they had bedrooms and there was a bathroom. When I was in there, I could hear the other person screaming in the room with the military guy and the nurse. They were doing something, and I wasn't so happy about that. But then the doctor actually came into the lounge room and he said this phrase of words. He said, "Did you see the dog in the room?" And I said, I'll be polite when I say this, I didn't see no dog in the room. I don't give a if there's a dog in the room. And I knew it was a phrase to induce an altered state.
So you think that was maybe an activation word?
Because he said something else, said some words after that, and what I saw was I took a back seat. So it's like looking in front of a black electric curtain, like a black curtain of energy. And that's all I could see. And then eventually I came, I guess came to, if you want to say that, and the doctor was still there. And what happened next, I don't know if that was actually real or not, but I remember picking up a rock and hitting him in the head, and then saying, "I know what you are up," and I said to him, "I know what you're up to," and I ran up out the back door and into the bush, and the military guy was off after me. And I ran for a while, and that's pretty much all I remember.
So when he was talking about the dog, you think that was like a activation word to put you in whatever state?
Yep.
Yeah.
But there's programming codes. So there's a code, it's a long string of code that they use to put a person into a programmed state.
So when they're actually doing this programming, I know there's many methods, but there's many methods thrown around throughout our community. Do you have any knowledge about the types of methods, not fully, but sort of an idea or an inkling on the type of methods they use for you?
Yeah.
Because of course they're doing this to try and so you don't even really have an idea. But as you know, there's glitches in their system and things come through. And that's why I'm just asking if there is anything that, has come through.
Yeah, look, I've got one memory of, and this was, it was in 2011. I woke up kind of woke up, I guess, because I was flying through the air. It was somewhere in, looked to be Russia, judging by the names of street names and the park that was nearby and the plaque that was on the wall and that sort of thing. And, you know, and there was a lady there, she had a dog. I flew down to pick up the dog, you know, and sort of, and then I sort of floated up to this tree, and where the branches meet, there was ants that were crawling out. And so I don't know if this was an actual screen memory, because the moment that this black spider crawled out, I was actually standing in front of myself, and my physical self was inside this small room, and I had a small window, and I had a red light on the left side, I think it was, and I'm screaming to myself that this is not real. So it was like, I felt like I was being electrocuted or tortured.
I've heard, I can't remember the reference of what I could give you, but I've heard some similar stuff. I don't know if it was the Nazis or the Russians or even the Japanese, where they've put people in small rooms for days on end, and a form of torture was just having a red light on.
Mm.
Have you heard anything?
No.
I've heard something like that before. I think it could have even been in a history book or a doco, but I've heard, which that's what I thought of when you said that. So there was like no, all it was that you were in was just like you had a small window, you're in a small room, and you just had a red light, that was it.
The room was big enough to fit a chair.
Yeah.
That's how big it was.
Half the size of a toilet cubicle thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And you felt like you were going nuts when you're looking at yourself in there, that was you going like.
Yeah, I was screaming at myself, this is not real.
Yeah.
So then. From there, I was taken in a helicopter, and this was about roughly about 1 o'clock in the morning, because eventually, because the technology that they have, they can take a person from point A to point B and bring you back to point A, and you could be gone for days or weeks, and the way time works, if they take bring you back to within the same period of time, your conscious mind thinks that you haven't gone anywhere.
So you saying, but like I've heard this, what I'm getting from what you've just said is basically just say I was taken this second. It's 5:30. Well, it says 5:30 a.m. That's weird that my computer says that. It's 5:30 in the afternoon. So I could get taken at 5:30. And you could say 1 second pass, I could actually be brought back, like gone for equivalent to a few days here, but be brought back at 5:30 in 1 second. So I'm brought back the same second I was taken, and I won't have any recollection of what was done, and it will just seem like no time's gone by.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's...
No conscious recollection.
I've had that even happen, yeah, yeah.
It'll usually come back through memories of either flashbacks or through dreams, because you're accessing other... brain states, brain waves through dreams. So that's how you access the information. Now this is 1 o'clock in the morning, and I wake up and I'm wet and cold. Not sweat, but wet and cold. And I could hear the helicopter flying off in the distance. And that's the only time of woken up wet and cold. Normally in bed, you're nice and warm and toasty.
Yeah. So no cold sweats or anything, you're just wet and you're cold.
A sign of things that I, indicators of being taken for periods of time is where I wake up the next morning and I've got like 1 or 2 weeks growth of fingernail growth. Where it wasn't that long before I went to bed, but you wake up and you've got, your nails are pretty much grown overnight.
Yeah. Have you had any sort of, like you get this, you know, with either what you're talking about, like with the MyLab stuff, or the, you know, contact phenomena or experience phenomena, weird marks?
Yeah.
I think we touched on this before, yeah, but I don't think we went into it much.
Yeah, look, there's one night I had contact with a group of beings that were in a, like, their craft was like a sphere, but it had like a quarter cut out at the back, so like a quarter missing, and that back bit had like these big, what looked like gas bottles. So some type of gas that used to propel the craft.
So fuel energy source for the propulsion system. Yeah, yeah.
At the front of the sphere was a window that kind of went from right round. The beings were tall, thin, grey. They had these black, like wetsuit type material on that was very hugging. It hugged the body. When I saw them, you know, I raised my hand like this, and they all raised their hands like this. And they asked, they said to me, "What's this love that you talk about?" Meaning, what's this love that humanity talks about? Because they couldn't comprehend what love is. Just didn't resonate in their field. But that was back when there was a lot of, I wasn't as aware of what, you know, what's happening. So, you know, back then I didn't even think about asking what their intent was. But I woke up the next morning because I went through a lot of it. Woke up and my teeth were really sore. It was like I'd been grinding, like clenching my teeth. I woke up with two needle marks, one in each bicep, and they were identical space from the elbow to the bicep on both sides.
So what do you think their intent was, or what they were a part of? Do you think it had a MyLab government connection?
They certainly weren't there for the best of humanity,
It's weird, back in 2010, and I wrote this in my last book, Operation Starset. I didn't pick up on it earlier on until the MyLab stuff sort of was exposed to me. I had, I don't know if you can see, but here, and here, might even have, I don't want to pull my top off and stuff, I'm sure I got one mark, but I had these marks exactly in the same spot on each side.
Mm-hmm.
And even the doctor was just buggered. But they were in the same spot, man, you know what I mean? I'm waking up, have a shower, and I think just after I got out of the shower and I'm wiping myself down, I noticed there's one, and then later on, from laying down or something, I noticed same bloody mark on each side, and I've noticed that there's a different reaction to the body. Like, if it's my guy's taking me, I can play with the abduction mark, or, you know, the whatever mark it is. It doesn't hurt. It heals very quickly. These, like, the human-type dudes or whatever, MyLab, it can hurt for a couple of days. Not bad. You can handle it, but it seems to hurt a little bit if you do touch it, and it seems to be they don't heal, you know, like the other ones heal.
Yep.
But it was weird, and I had an experience where I was taken earlier this year by the military, and I had an experience with the reptilian grey the night before, but the next night I was taken by the military, and I woke up, and on the same spot, just above each, you know, the ball on your ankle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a mark on each side a few centimetres up in the exact same spot, and that, over a period of a day, bruised right up like balls, and then they calmed down after a few days, and what's the chances, you know, of being, you know, somebody could say, oh, that was a bite from someone. What's the chances they're in the exact same spot, they're fine for a day, and then they bruise right up, and then go back down?
Yeah. Look, I've got a memory of having an implant put behind my eye, and actually what the implant looked like, the device they used. I woke up the next morning, and I've still got the mark there. It's a little red dot. And the, I don't know why it's there. I don't know. I don't know what it's used for. Maybe used for like a monitoring tool that allows them to see what I see, being that it's close to the optic nerve. It's like a twisted, I'm pretty sure it was like a green and black, like if you've got two wires and twisted them together. That's what it looked like. But it was only small.
How was that put in?
They used a device that had like a long shaft on it, long metal shaft. It like a, it's not like a, you know, something that they push on. And they inserted it in, kind of around here somewhere. And it was on an angle and it went in and they pushed the thing and they pulled it out. And that's how they put it in. Not sure who put it there, though.
Not sure, yeah. Now, that's something I haven't heard of before, especially putting it in that type of air. I've heard of stuff like energy implants in the forehead and, you know, which are not physical to us in this realm, but, you know, other types of implants. That's interesting how you're explaining that, too, with, like, was it black and green wires twisted, sort of, entwined?
Yeah, it wasn't wire, it was another type of material.
But that's the best sort of description you can give of the appearance,
Look, other implants that I've had, and was one behind the ear. It was a cylinder, it was a metal cylinder, well, some type of metal cylinder. Are you still there?
Yeah, mate, yep. Can't you see me anymore? It's gone a bit wacky, actually.
Yeah, sorry, you disappeared for a while.
Yep, no, just... Even the sound is going weird on this end again. Can you see me now?
Yep.
Oh, that's fine.
The one behind the ear was... I actually remembered the operation being inserted. It was... cylindrical, it looked to be like a silver-type metal... The device they used was like a kind of like a teaspoon, but it had a long, thin shaft, and where the spoon bit that you use, it was kind of bent up like that. So it actually
It was more curved up.
Yeah, more curved up.
Yeah.
The implant fit inside it. The implant was wrapped in a membrane. So it looked to be like an orangey. Brownie-type membrane that I wrapped it in.
Mucusy-type looking?
Yeah, like a mucusy skin type thing. So, which I think prevents the body from rejecting it.
Yeah. You get that with the alien implants too. There's usually a membrane, mucusy type thing around. I think it's usually white and then it can dissolve once it's gone into our atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled out, yeah.
Yeah, so the next morning I woke up and thought, wow, what a dream. But I had a bath, and as I laid into the bath, this pain went right into my ear. I could feel it, right in. So I feel it was connected. There was something else I was going to touch on, too, with technology.
No, it's all right. If you just think of it, just bring it up now. After the last show when we were talking, you were going into, and it's up to you if you want to go into it, but you were talking about how you'd been on other planets during missions or other places. Would you mind touching on to that? If you know where they were, just, you know, give the word, but otherwise just give descriptions and what you can sort of remember of why you were there and what you were doing sort of thing. Actually, if you can... Just hit the video button, because it's gone all weird. There we go. That's fine, actually.
Are you okay?
Yeah. You're coming through clear for a second, then two, and now it's all, all weird, but it's all good.
Yeah, I just lost my internet.
It did say it cut out on this end. I got a little... red box saying connection lost or something, and then I was saying that, so I was hoping that you were still hearing me.
It's
just cut in and out.
Yeah, I didn't lose it from the router's point of view, but I lost the traffic off the internet.
Whatever, something weird's going on anyway, because I told you what happened to my computer and other weird things, so
Yeah, sure. The projects, some of the projects I was involved in involved abducting people and from different timelines. And the reason that it's done that way or was done that way is because if you go back into the future, who's going to miss you? There's no, you know, people, and even current people disappear anyway, but, and I remember the checkpoints, I remember the type of travel, it was like a train, it's probably the best way to describe it, like a train, there was lots of people, we'd stop at various checkpoints along the way to other planets, and these people were exchanged for either technology or minerals that don't exist on this planet, that don't grow naturally on this planet. One of the planets that we went to, there was these beings on there. They looked like kind of like elephant people, like a human body but like an elephant head type thing, and the whatever it was that was on that planet was very bright and shiny. It was it was very bright and shiny. It's the best way to describe it.
So the actual planet was like that?
No, these minerals.
The minerals, yeah. So you were there to retrieve them. Is that possibly the stuff that we've used on the crafts, like on our own back-engineered crafts to create these, our own flying saucers? This, or would it be pertaining to other things that we would be getting these for?
I'm not sure what the purpose that it was used for, but it was important enough to have quite a few people go up there and retrieve it. It was put in these big grey cases,
So it was basically a mining operation.
Yeah.
And so you were there just to retrieve what had been, like, whatever was mined, you were there to retrieve that and take that back to wherever you had to go.
Yeah, I was part of that operation.
Yeah.
I don't really want to say what part I played, but it was part of that operation. And there was other guys there. It wasn't just me, there was other guys there as well.
So when it was being, whoever was doing the mining or whatever, was that these dudes who were on this planet, like the elephant looking men, or was that us? Do you know if it was us actually mining there and doing that? If it was like a team type work?
I didn't see any actual mining because we were there just to retrieve the minerals. So, and it was like they were already there.
Yeah, all right.
These containers.
I guess this is how this type of stuff drags on from our type of military stuff that we think we know or need to know basis. Do the operation, shut up, you don't need to know, and if you need to know, we'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the things or the operations that happen in the tech, like even current day, is it's like science fiction. It's like science fiction because the technology that's there is, and it's most of the technology has come from either reverse engineered craft or shared information from other beings that work with the military. And they do have an agenda because the human race don't fully understand who they are, who they are as the human race. And I know I briefly discussed it in the last one, but humans have come to Earth to raise their consciousness to a higher level, to the point where they have access to their abilities. And the other side doesn't want that because the humans are actually more powerful than these other beings with natural abilities. And other beings have to use technology to achieve that ability.
Well, that's sort of stuff that I've written about before and gone on about with what has been exposed to me, is that there's many types of races that we are blood related, like, you know, our genes and everything go to. I know that we're a mixture of many beings, and that we're actually continuing the program now by mating, you know, other races mating, because races were set there. From what I know is Orions, Pleiadians, Sirians, Andromedans, and there's a couple of other mixed in with ethereal DNA, which is why we're very special compared to others.
Yes.
But then what happened over time is that once these race, these beings that were put here or created here, this was done as a group project. So over time, you might have Native Americans mate with, you know, an Aboriginal, whatever. And what's happening is they're mixing the genes up, still continuing the project without even being aware of it. But because we've got ethereal DNA and we're a mixture of these many beings, we've got special abilities. So with our DNA is not turned on at the moment because we haven't got the oneness, which we have had. When we have had the oneness, we've had the junk DNA actually turned on. It's not junk. But from what I understand too is that because of the emotional traits which weren't expected, that's what's able to turn down the DNA, is because we go from the oneness, because of emotion, we can single it out, we can turn that DNA down. But in saying that, what you were just saying is the key point, is that this is a test, it's very hard, but we're here to raise consciousness. And the beings that are coming down through here are here to help. So with the part of it actually being physical beings from this realm and then the ethereal DNA chucked in and beings from other dimensions, it's a huge project. But from what I understand is that one of the abilities that we've got now, a lot of these beings are telepathic. But what they can't do, not all of them, is, for example, I can remote view and you can remote view something in any plane and dimension throughout the cosmos. These dudes have to be in a certain range. From what I understand, some of these beings have to be in a certain range or a certain wavelength to be able to, you know, do telepathy or remote viewing.
Yes.
So they're basically jealous, because it's like, here's these dudes that don't even know who they are, and they, you know, will manipulate them, but they're like, these dudes don't even have a clue what the hell they can do.
Yeah.
And then we've got the other side of our group saying, if only these dudes knew what they could do and who they are.
Yeah. And that's connects with the super soldiers, because the super soldiers are essentially star seeds that have been used by the military and have had their DNA activated in a altered consciousness. And that's why you will hear super soldiers say they can do certain things, but they can't do it in this physical reality, and that's because it's in a different level of consciousness. And that's how it's how they're used, and that's why the military use activation, either words or tones over the phone, or there's quite a few different ways to actually activate a person.
In saying that, this is what I've thought on that, and I've thought along the same lines as you, is that, you know, the super soldiers are star seeds. But what I've thought about, and I've talked about the council and in between lives of what's sorted out with your groups and all that sort of thing, it seems to me, because what we've got on one level is the beings behind the Illuminati, whether there are cons, reptilians, or other types that you've spoken about. Now, they're weak. Why I say they're weak is what they're doing is they either use a form of possession or manipulation outside of us, so we can't see them.
Yep.
Because what can't happen is you can't infiltrate, you can't put what you want and impose it on a less formed civilization. So what they're doing is they're doing it behind the scenes.
Exactly.
So they're smart, but they're not that smart, because what the star seeds have done, whether from the God source directly or those who have come here to volunteer, it's like over a period of time they said, well, what do we do? And then some dude said, what we'll do is reincarnate into a human body and play a part in humanity, because that gives us the right to do what we've got to do, because we're playing a part, we're not imposing from outside. But in saying that, what I've thought about with the super soldiers is, what if before reincarnating here, you're talking with your group and the council, they're going, what you're going to do, right, is you're going to reincarnate in there, you're not going to know shit for a while, you're not going to know jack, but what's going to happen is you're going to become a super soldier and we're going to you're going to be reporting to us as well, so we know what the hell's going on in their level. Like, as if you're a spy for two people, and the main people you're working for, the so-called main people, being the Illuminati or whoever's running the super soldiers, they really haven't thought about that because, well, maybe they have. But this is what I've thought about, is that you've agreed on this to infiltrate and play a part in the super soldier thing. But at the same time, like you said, how the super soldiers are picked out, if I'm correct, when we first started talking, it was they've got a device which can pick up the DNA evolution of somebody between the ages of 7 and 8. So yeah, that they'll work that out from there.
Yeah, and that's what was told to me directly by the, I guess, the leaders of the project.
I think you were saying European.
Yeah, they were both European. It was male and female. Mid to late 20s. They were very, very gifted because they could find a person just by holding their hands up in front of them. They could walk straight to that person even if that person was hiding. It's interesting you mentioned about sort of going to the other side to see what's happening. Because I had an interaction with some Dracos, I guess.
I have as well, and it was pretty darn recently.
And they said to me, first off, they were in human form, and because beings can change form, they can do that. They can look human. But it's the energy signature of the being that if you're aware, you can pick up on it and you know that they're not human. They called me something guardian of something first. And then we walked into this building and then something happened. I knew something wasn't right and I said to them, all right, show your true self. You know? And they transformed me into these Dracos.
You were transformed into that?
No, they did.
They did, all right. Yep.
And they were calling me the blue something. And I said to them, why are you calling me the blue something? And they said, that's the name we give to the ones that come from the good side or side of the light and go over to their side and then come back to the good side. And it really pisses them. They were really pissed off.
So basically, if you cut to the chase, you were infiltrating not on the 3D or this vibration reality, you were infiltrating on another reality or higher vibration as well.
Yes. Yeah. So that's how I found out about that. And with every experience I've had, it's all been a learning experience. I learn how their methods of attack and how they do it, how they... there's dream architects and how they can essentially design a dream to obtain a specific emotional response. And the dreams that are architect or designed are usually the last dream you have in the morning or the second last dream because they want you to remember it.
Also, you learn more about yourself, I think, too.
I've learned in the last 2 years, I've learned a lot about myself. And where I'm going, and probably the best bit of advice I could give to anyone that's been in the MyLab or in the MyLab thing is you're more powerful than them, and don't let them put it over you. So if you have the consciousness or thought that they can't touch you, you will survive. There's been, I guess, experiences that I've had that I've gotten through, and that's because in other dimensions, if you want to call that, or other realities, there's certain, like for example, gravity, the laws of gravity don't apply, the laws of speed don't apply, so you're only as fast as you can think.
It's like as if what we think our reality is comes into being. Oh, we think there's time, so therefore we've got time, and we think there's gravity. Oh, therefore there's gravity, and it's it limits us in so many ways. Now, before you're talking about how humans are special, and I went on my little rant, but I was just thinking, what what's come from you, come from for you in knowing that, in knowing what you know about the humans being special and with the manipulation going on?
That's a really good question. Is with that, I guess the one of the things that I was told was, I was created in a genetics program. I was told the name of the program. I was told the name of my father in that program.
Is this here on this earth at this timeline?
Yes, because I had a talk to my mother about it, and she confirmed that she has memories of leading up to, probably 12 months leading up to my birth, of being in a hospital that she was never in. And she has had other things, like she's woken up with initials written on her leg, with like a holographic number, a number and a letter on her wrist that was there half the day and then it disappeared. And what was interesting was the H, I think it was, or the 4, was like, it was like a mirrored 4, so it was really weird. It wasn't like the right way around. It was like it was put around the wrong way. And I've been introduced to some of my hybrid children, and I know this sounds weird, but...
No, I've got a couple of them. I've got 4 of them, actually, yeah.
And I've been... Some I've actually met, and they're not all looking human. Mm-hmm. Some are races. I've been told how many I have. I don't know if it's correct or not, but it's quite a large number. I remember some of the genetic experiments that I've been involved in with other beings that are in one race that are quite new to the genetics game. They were showing me what they created with their cross genetics, and their first attempts weren't that good.
Well, the amount of kids that I've got looks very small to some other people that I know too. Some seem to have a large amount. Like people blow out, oh, you got 5 of them, and it's like, yeah, that's nothing compared to some other people, and they're like, what? And I tell them, and it's like, yeah, really? But it's weird. There's so many spins or stories, and who's to say who's right or wrong? Because I can't know unless I've had your experience or vice versa. But what I've been told is that they're there to raise other dimensions, to carry this gene and frequency of this. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like we're a super being in the 3D realm, because there's so many beings that have mixed the DNA over time with the ethereal DNA that they've sort of created. It's got like the elite of the enlightened have got together and gone, we'll do this. But for the shift that's going on, because I know that the shift isn't going to play out how most people think, I think it's going to be done and we're not even going to be aware of it. And there's going to be those left here and those in the next realm. And they'll have the Earth too. I've seen the Earth split up very similar to Dolores Cannon stuff, which totally blew me out because that's how it was exposed to me. But from what I've understood, and this may not be with all the hybrid kid programs because, lots of beings, lots of different agendas. But from what I've got with mine is that they're to go to the other dimensions to pave the way and to also carry out this human race with whatever they've been. I think they've been mixed with more ethereal DNA again, plus with whoever they're... is doing the projects, so therefore that dimension, because what I'm understanding, and this is what it's very big what's going on, and I'll get into it in another aspect in a bit with you, but what got me was that everyone's going this shit for Earth, blah blah. What I got is that this shift in consciousness is for the whole universe. It's even for the reptilians, it's for the Archons.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're going to drag them kicking and screaming for their own good whether they realise it or not. But what I got is that, alright, we've got to go up. But the dudes above us in the next realm, they've got to go up. And those above them have got to go up. And this is where all this knowledge came to me. And I was like, shit, this is so big that it was took me a bit to comprehend, because this is all planes and dimensions all shifting. And we're part of it. And I thought how big and beautiful it really is that it's not just an Earth thing. It's a universal thing for all beings throughout all planes.
Exactly. And I was only discussing it with someone yesterday, because in each multiverse or universe, there's another one of you, me, and everyone else is
goes on
different levels of consciousness. So when the shift occurs, it's not like we're going to not see people, but we're going to see those people at that level of shift
that are in line.
Yeah.
So with the hybrid kids, is that what you get from them? Or is there something... Because I know there's a lot of different things and it could all be real. It's just... It happens to be my experience. Do you know why... What these kids are... Why this is being done in your case?
Okay. Well... My son... One of my sons that I met, he... And I was introduced to other family members as well. So it was about reconnecting. It's like we're going to where they are. And
have you come from where they are?
I think we all have.
That's the coolest thing about it.
I'm aware of, I guess, being as other beings. It's because it's not like a life of this being. It's like We're multiple parts, and there's parts of us that are,
we're multidimensional beings.
And we can get to a point where we can actually shift our consciousness to other parts of ourselves, our other beings, and experience life in that level of consciousness.
Really, all these lives are being lived at the same time anyway, and they're all facets of the one thing, and this is where people are like, well, that's just dummy heading. But this is where it all leads up to, is that we're actually, past, present and future really doesn't exist, and even though we've got all these different past lives and future lives, they're all being lived at the exact same time.
Exactly. It's just on different timelines and different, parallel worlds and non-parallel worlds. And that's why we have choice. Humanity as a whole has a choice on which timeline to take. Up until prior 2012, there was a destructive timeline. And the other side did want that to happen. And because the other side knows that if you get a group consciousness together and they can create a resonance field big enough to choose either a destructive timeline or... the timeline that's better for humanity. And that's what actually happened. Humanity, or enough of humanity, chose a timeline that has a brighter future.
Exactly. And like I said to you last show, that I've seen the two timelines come into one, and it's not good or bad, but it's got bits of both. So it wasn't totally bad and it wasn't totally good, but we have changed it to a better one than what it... Like, then there being two and one's bad, that doesn't exist anymore, nor does the good. There's a combination of both back to one again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where we're going to, as we're going to, essentially we're going back to the oneness, to the unity. Because essentially that's what we are, we're all one. And once we can get there, then we can create a better future. There's a lot of technology, there's holographic technology that can create things, create food,
free energy, bloody housing, clothing, everything that's just a basic needs.
But we've got to get past that point of wanting to kill each other, the greater humanity and the wars and all that sort of stuff, because once we can get past that, then we will get access to that technology.
Well, the one is, I think it's even technology, there can become a point, if you're strong enough with the oneness, you don't even need technology because consciousness can do it. You realize that this is a holographic universe, it's all an illusion, therefore you can create anything and manifest it. So people you've got these beings flying in crafts, and I know they're real because I've been on them, but then you've got other beings, which other crafts have been on, that are created by thought. Yeah. And I was saying this to a bloke the other day. I said, this is all cool to be working on this, but I thought, wouldn't you want to skip that and go to a higher form of consciousness and just create that by thought rather than working in some lab trying to create it? Because this is just, why go to here when you can go, straight up here? But with that comes enlightenment and the oneness. But I think the main thing is, in my opinion, is that we all have to let go of the ego. I think if the human race let go of ego, and they realised they didn't know it all, and realised that we're all brothers and sisters, having this illusion at the same time, and therefore that we can change it at a moment's thought by oneness, we wouldn't be shooting, we wouldn't be dealing drugs, we wouldn't be blackmailing each other, we wouldn't be having to go at somebody, you know, because of their colour or their social stature. And really it goes back to ego. And I think it's because we've been divided, like we came back with you at the start with what's happening with you at the moment. They're trying to divide and therefore they conquer because they break you down, and therefore it's easy to manipulate you and control you because you're by yourself. But when you're with other people as one, you just can't break that. But you've got to recognize, you know, we have to recognize that when we're one, that's the bond that really can't be broken.
Exactly.
Because look, there is programs in place by the other side that are set out to actually do that, to create separation and distraction within humanity, or individuals within humanity. And that's, they've been in place since around the 50s. It started to actually ramp up.
Well, that's when the star seeds started to come through, the new waves. I've understood that there's always been them coming through, but they had to blast them because this is when, after World War II, shit started to jack up, basically. It's weird about how I look at it, because at the moment, like we're saying, this is a holographic universe, and every single thing within that universe contains the whole. Just like a normal hologram, you can cut up a hologram into a tiny bit, like tiny pieces, but still each tiny piece will contain the whole. Now, what we're doing here is affecting, because it's, even though it's tiny microscopic throughout the whole universe, which, you know, I think they're saying at the moment is 300 billion galaxies with, you know, a few hundred billion suns in each one, or stars in each one. So we're talking, you know, on a gigantic scale. Earth compared to all that is just, you know, not even, you know, just can't even be thought of in those terms. But what's happening is, because we're in that whole universe, we affect the whole with what we're doing here. But after speaking to you, I knew that, yes, there are these entities, whatever people want to label them as, in these other dimensions, and as I know, they're actually in between dimensions as well. They sort of sit, some of them actually sit in between dimensions, so they're not in either one, they're sort of sitting in between them. But when you started talking about not just the super soldier stuff, what got me was the interdimensional aspect, that you're going through timelines and different parallel universes. I was thinking that makes that even more worse, not you per se, but the controllers of this project. It's not like they're just doing it here on Earth in this timeline. They might be going to Mars doing stuff and the moon. This is actually bigger, because it's going into interweaving into other timelines, other dimensions, and even out to other planets.
Sure. And yeah, look, this history has been changed a fair bit compared to the actual original history of the planet. There's an organisation in America, I'm not going to mention their name on air, but they have holographic technology, and they know the history of the planet. They know what caused the major changes in over the long, long period of this life of the planet. The first major change to this planet was caused by the introduction to, a race of reptilians. Well, they look like reptilians. And because before them, this planet was a place for sharing technology, plants and animals from other planets. It was like a living library, I guess. But then it was taken over by the reptilians as you said, they're being controlled by someone else.
Yeah, which I think there is someone behind.
Yeah, there is someone behind that curtain. So, and they want you to focus on one particular race or a couple of particular races being.
So a lot of people say that the reptilians are archons, and it's like, no. They're like the next level up. Who's going behind that? And as you said, there's many of them. Yep. Like many different types pulling the strings. Yeah.
The ones behind the whole what's happening on the planet are just so far advanced compared to the reptilians. And the reptilians are nothing. They're like in... And this is no disrespect to any of those beings out there, but they're like in kindergarten compared to these other races of beings that are really behind what's happening.
Exactly. And like we've both said, like, they're not all the reptilians are bad. Like, I don't even think they're really that bad, although I've had some experiences. But as I've said, I believe they're being manipulated. But on the other level of it, and you're exactly right. Now, some of these beings I've interacted with, even the Andromedans, that people have mistaken for angels. They're just so beautiful, the loving energy and everything.
Yes.
Just like some of the Pleiadians and the Syrians and even the Orions. But from my understanding is that if we had a scale of 1 to 100... the most enlightened beings I've interacted with would be maybe 30-40% mark, and we would basically be in the top, in the bottom five. So we're looking at something that's ethereal and is pretty cool and loving, and they're only at 30-40%. Imagine what's at 50 up to the 100% mark.
Exactly.
So a lot of people will just go, oh, they think the Andromedans are it, or they think these angels are it, and this and that. It's like, this is only what you can fathom. Now, out of body, I believe we know all that is, that ever has been, and we do know it all. We've got that access. But when in a body, we're still limited to what we can perceive. And so it's so wondrous and big out there. But yeah, go on about the manipulators and how you're saying there's many levels.
Yeah, there is. There's quite a few levels. You've got the greys, and they're not all bad as such, because there is other races that look similar to greys, and they're not zetas. And zetas are more of a hive mentality. The mantid beings they're more of a neutral type being, but they're more of like scientists.
And they're ancient as hell.
Yeah. And so they don't work for any one side, but they're more... They actually find the humans interesting to study because of our emotions, our emotional body, the extremes that we can have.
Well, that's what I've got from them too, is it's like they couldn't care about the ones manipulating us, and they couldn't even care about us or the ones trying to help us. It's like, you guys are all in this feud, we're over here, we just don't... They're like up here on a level of consciousness, and us and even the beings that we're from are like down here because we're all... Yeah, I know what you're saying about the Mantis beings, they're just totally different.
Yeah.
It's different form. But they are connected somehow, because they do keep popping up, and I've had interactions with them, obviously... You have, and we're having that interaction for a reason, but they're not buying into this shit game that we're all in at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that's... So, just back to the kids for a minute. Did you understand what their purpose is? The hybrid kids.
Yeah. Some of them... it's about... Because they already have the abilities that we're looking to get, you know, with a high level of consciousness. They already have those abilities, strong telepathic communication, teleportation, telekinesis. And when you look at it, they're really just a manipulation of energy. They see where we're going. Where humanity's going, they see the potential of where we can get to, and they're already there.
So, are you along the same lines as what I'm thinking? Is they're carrying us to that next dimension, mixed with whoever or wherever they're at, mixed with us mixed with whatever they're from, like whoever's been doing this, mm-hmm. to carry this on, because they're all, like, I get what you're saying, and I've even thought for a while, you know, I'd love to be able, you know, you think in stupid terms of, oh, could I support them, the bastards, they've got me kids, blah, 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 but then you think these kids are already activated, they've got every single ability that they, I think we do see them for sort of the emotional human side to support them and play with them and whatever, but then again, it's like, their needs are not our needs, because they don't even have needs. They're just being. They already know the reality as it is, where we are on totally different lower form of consciousness to them. Yeah. So it's like, sort of a joke.
Yeah. It's like, best way to explain it is when, say, two people are climbing up a mountain, the guy that's up higher up the mountain can see more than the other guy that's sort of not, you know, near the top, he's halfway down. He can only see a certain amount compared to the other guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's like with your hybrid children, it's the same connection that you have with your, you know, your earth children. You just know who they are. When you meet them, you instantly know who they are. Yeah.
And they're popping in and back out of time as well. Like, I've seen my daughter and my son one time, and then I saw the daughter a few months later, and she was a teenager. And then I saw a few months after that, in a shopping centre, and I was walking around, even at the, there was one dude working at the counter, and I'm like, where'd she go? And he's like, what are you talking about? He said there was no, it was a very small shop, sort of where you just go to get your milk or maybe, you know, a thing of sugar or whatever. And she walked straight past me. But she, this time she was a full-blown adult. So within a year, she's gone from being a very young child, you know, maybe 4 or 5, up to, you know, about 16, and then, you know, in her 30s or late 20s, all in a year. So it's like they're popping in and out.
Yeah, because they have, some of the hybrids have abilities to travel through time. So they can,
that's nothing for them.
Yeah, it's nothing. But now you mentioned, and there's a connection with you and she regarding your, one of your hybrid children.
With Shiji?
Shiji, I think.
Shiji, yeah. S-H-I-G-I, yeah.
Yeah. But look, I was just turned 18. I was waiting outside the club because I couldn't get in. I had no idea. And this woman walked up from behind me, grabbed hold of my shoulder and actually called me by my first name. And not many people know my first name. And I was literally speechless because I thought, how does she know my first name? And how does she know it was me from behind? And I was speechless. And she didn't say anything after that. And she walked past into the club and that was it. That's all I saw. And so I don't know. It was some type of recognition or I don't know.
But this shit can happen anywhere, can't it? Like, yeah. Two of my interactions out of probably the 5 or 6 interactions I've had with them, they've been in public. Mm-hmm. Like, even one time I was going to turn a corner and one of my girls walked behind me. And then I pulled straight over as soon as I've turned that corner and she's just disappeared. And the only way she could have got out of sight was by jumping over like a 7... I don't know if you got them up in Sydney, but down here around all the schools, we've got these big ass fences about 7 foot. Yeah, there's no way she was getting over that. Nowhere she could have gone. I'm just thinking, I knew, like, the way, how big her eyes were, they were big eyes. Even what she was wearing was sort of, it was teenager-ish, but it just didn't look...
Didn't fit in.
Nah, it didn't fit in.
Definitely so, on the ball with that one.
It's trippy stuff.
Yeah, and look, I think it happens a lot, but not everyone's aware of it.
But it's not also that common. It is common in this field when you talk to other people like yourself, but it's not at the same time. Because I'll say that there would only be... I couldn't put a scale on it, but, you know, I'd say maybe 20% to 30% of people like that I know, like us, have got the hybrid kids, and then the others don't. But then, again, maybe they all do, and they just don't know about it. You know what I mean? It's just something you can't put a finger down and say it's a percentage this and that, but it's not something I get to talk about with a lot of people because, you know, it's just either it's not brought up because it's not part of their experience or whatever.
And not everyone understands. And I guess it's unless you've had that experience that you can relate to it and you can understand, you know, what we're talking about. And that's not to say that anyone is less than, it's just different and maybe not everyone's aware of it up to that level of consciousness, you know.
Exactly. I'll get a lot of people saying to me, oh, I wish I was at your level or had interactions like you. And I say to them, you're probably having just as much interaction, but you're not even bloody aware of it. Because what I understand is, like those that are close to me that are experiences, they're having interactions different to me, where mine seems to be like physical, like you and I speaking now, and then there's the ethereal state, but most of it's like we are now. Mm-hmm. As they project themselves in or as they appear, whatever they do. But then these other people will be getting telepathic messages or communicating telepathically or downloads or having it in the dream state. So that's what I say to them is what I think's done is that the communication is done on a way that's not going to interfere too much with them while in the human body.
Yeah.
Or else they would not do what they've got to do.
Yeah. Look, I'll give you an example of that. I read a book by a well-known experiencer, and I thought, well, it'd be nice to meet these Orion beings, and you know, I telepathically sent a message, and I said, look, you know, wake me up gently, don't just show up in the room, in the bedroom, because you're going to scare the crap out of me. So it was early hours in the morning, I woke up, and I saw an Orion being standing at the end of the bed, but instantly there was that fear. And so I'm telling
which type was it?
Sorry?
Which type was it? Because I know that there's greys, and I know there's two types of greys, but they don't look like normal greys. So one of them's got the big heads like that and the small black eyes. And then there's a smaller version of that that's got a smaller head. And then there's human type ones there. And then I know that the Elohim are there, which are these blue light beings. But I know that from the Elohim, I know that that Orion area is just full of many different types.
This one that I saw was a smaller one.
Brownish?
Yeah, the lights were off, but we have ambient lighting, I guess, in the bedroom, so it looked like a dark brown skin.
That's, yeah, well, they're the two that are there that I know are brown. They're brown from there, too.
Yeah.
That's true.
I was telling him to go away, you know, no, because the fear that I had, even though I said, wake me up gently, which is what happened. So the next night, I wasn't the only one that saw that being there. My wife saw him as well, so. But the next night, because I've got a voice recorder, and sometimes I'll actually set it on, you know, voice record.
Do some EVP.
The next night,
EVP work.
Yeah. Sorry, the sound's gone.
Can you hear me now? Hello, hello. Is it cutting out, is it? Hello?
Yeah, you're back again.
Alright, yeah, no, I was just saying EVP work.
No, recorded my voice.
Alright, yep.
What I said was, I do not fear this. And so this being was back, but the level of interaction was in a subconscious level. So there was a connection there with this being, and it's all about humanity and the DNA and that sort of thing.
That's what I get from them too. But one thing that I find interesting is how you... I don't know if you feared it. I think you didn't resonate with it. Because what gets me is that I can handle these very, very highly enlightened beings, whether they're humanoid, and I know that the humanoid ones that I have been working with are higher than the greys. Not to put the greys down, because I know that there's greys that work for the council that are really higher.
Yep.
So there's many types. But then there's like the Orion greys, which are real, I call browns, because they're brown, they're not greys, but although they look similar to them.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't resonate with them. And they're not bad. They're not here to hurt me. But I sort of, freak out. But I think it's because I don't resonate with them. And what I don't get is that, so that the higher beings I'm working with are up here. At the moment, I'm down here. These greys are closer to me, or the browns. I should be able to handle them better than what I should up there, because their frequency is closer, but I don't resonate with them. It's like, so it was weird that you said that, because they're closer to us than what the others are in vibration.
Yeah, and look, there's been other beings that have shown up that I haven't had a problem with. So it was just interesting. It was just that one of those beings that I've was fearful of. But I had a grey show up one night after, it was the night after there was a big attack. And he had a clipboard and he was taking notes. So he worked for the military because he was taking notes on, he wanted to see what the outcome was of this big attack. And it didn't, they didn't achieve what they wanted to achieve. And I know that I can easily talk about it now, but going through that experience, it was...
different matter.
Yeah, it was very different. And I've come out the other side of the MyLab stuff. Living through it was very... stressful, and it was torture at times, so I don't speak of it lightly.
Oh, you can't. People just don't know what it's like unless you're going through it, hands down. And it's, it'd be like as if they were, people pay it out. I might put a little spin on stuff here and there, but I've got to put a sense of humour in it, because half of the time I'll cry if I don't, to tell you the truth. But when people will totally give a shit for it, it really pisses me off, because it'd be like me saying something about something that's gone on in their life. And, you've got the balls to go public with it. And that's why you're doing it. You're, as you said at the end of the last show, you want to be able to help people. You want people to understand how special they are. It's not about showboating or anything like that. But at the same time, you're putting something very personal out there. It does hurt hearing shit about it.
Yeah, and look, that's solely what my intent is to help other people that are going through these experiences, looking for more information, and that's why I became a support person on a CERN website. And from the things that they've done to me, and the biggest thing they did was take my daughter away from me. And they warned me about it quite a few times before they did it, and I thought they couldn't possibly do it, but they did. And that's through being able to implant false memories and manipulate the people around my daughter. And it happened... I think I might have spoken of it, but it happened like midweek. I had plans to set up an online blog and release a whole heap of information. And by the Thursday, that's when I had a phone call. And yeah, so that's sort of how that happened, and that's why I'm here where I am today. And so it's important for humanity to truly know who they are, and the possibility or the opportunity that we have to where we're going, within regards to the unity, the oneness. And I've seen what that can achieve. I've seen what that can achieve.
Yeah.
In the parallel world that I was taken to with the military. And so the military, they know what can be achieved as well with regards to humanity. And the ones behind that don't want that to happen.
Well, that's how deep it goes. People think it's, oh, them, but no, it's those behind them, and then those behind them, and then those behind them. And what they're using is easier tools to go down the planes that can access here and do that work. So yeah. There's many levels. It's a lot more complicated than what people think.
Yeah. Any other questions?
No, what we might do, we'll wrap it up there. It's gone for about an hour 35, which is good. I'll probably talk to you for a bit after this anyway, but we'll get you back on sometime if you want, because there's just a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of insight. There's a lot of things that are clicking for myself as well, which I think will be happening for others. Mm-hmm. And it's not just covering one thing. Yourself and myself are covering a wide range of what we seem to go into. Like you said, it will play out how it plays out. There's no notes here. There's no nothing, guys. It's just straight out off the cuff. We're just chatting.
And it's really just the tip of the iceberg. We haven't really gone into a whole lot of specific detail. It's just covering, really, it's just brief. We'll mention more about that in the next interview.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll wrap it up there, and thanks for being on the show, Brad.
It's my pleasure, and thank you, and we'll talk soon.
Yep. Thanks, everyone, too. Cheers. Bye.